What a wonderful song to sing. Amen. Sing of my great Redeemer who saved me from sin, pardoned me, and gave me a place that I can call home when this life is over. If you have your Bibles, if you'll find your way to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 4, Acts chapter number 4. We're going to be looking at a couple of people, Peter and John, and I would like for us to think about calling them the most valuable men in town. The most valuable men in town. Now, as we'll see in this passage here, the priest and their, they gave their evaluation of Peter and John, and they called them ignorant and unlearned individuals. They would do more to change the world in all of Jerusalem. 13 men, if you'll remember Christ's calling, changed the world. One doctor, one intellectual, but the rest of them were unlettered. They didn't have initials following their name. You look at a map, especially of biblical times, and you look at, for instance, Paul's missionary journeys, and you can see the impact of their lives. And then even in modern times, how our world has changed, yet the same message that Peter and John and Paul and countless others have proclaimed, it has not changed. So this morning I want us to look at why they were the most valuable men in town. Acts chapter 4, we began reading in verse number 12. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that our salvation does not come through any merits of our own, that it does not come through any other name other than You. Lord, how thankful we are for this salvation. And God, I pray that You would help us as Christians, as believers, to have the same boldness that Peter and Paul and John and all the others had to proclaim Your gospel to a lost world. Lord, as I proclaim Your word this morning, I pray that You would hide me behind that precious cross of Calvary. Lord, allow these people not to see me today, but they see You. God, speak to our hearts. Lord, perhaps there is sin in our life that needs to be forgiven. We pray that You would convict them, Lord, if they repent. There's one that is lost. God, we pray that You would convict them, that they be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, for whatever You do here this morning, we'll be careful to give You all the praise and the honor and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Why were these men the most valuable men in town? If you'll notice there that the priest of the day had said that these men were unlearned. They were ignorant men, as they said. So, but I want to back up to verse 10, and I want us to think about this. They were not unlearned and ignorant about their Savior. Notice what it says in verse 10. It says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Now, notice here that they are proclaiming this to the priests and the religious leaders of their day. And when he says, "Be it known to you that the people whom you crucified, but God raised." They were not ignorant about their Savior. They were not unlearned about their Savior. They had been with Jesus and they knew who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. And they knew that Jesus had obviously died, but they also knew that God raised him from the dead. The world needs people today who have been with Jesus. Many know about science, but very few know about the Savior. There are many who know about mathematics, but very few know about the Master. There are many that know about space, but few know about grace. Many know about politics, but few know about God's plan. Many know about psychology, but very few know the one who solves all problems. This was the mystery to the priests. The educational background of these fishermen, and suddenly they were great public speakers here and great theologians. What God can do and will do with one who is completely surrendered to him. He can take an ordinary individual and make them and allow them to do extraordinary things. So they were not unlearned and ignorant about the Savior. Notice in these verses that we read that they were also not unlearned and ignorant about the Scripture. Oh, this was a knowledge explosion here. Sadly, our increased knowledge has only deepened our dilemma. We have all the knowledge in the world about everything else except the Scripture. Amen. These people did not know the books or know about other books, but they knew the book. Lincoln had said, "It's better to have knowledge of the Bible than any other book." Oh, if we could have politicians like that today. Amen or oh me. The knowledge of the Bible equipped them to serve. Many of the great universities in this country was founded to teach the Bible. Isn't it sad how we've fallen from that? Man foolishly gets too wise for God's book. We don't need that in our society today. The psalmist writes in Psalm 2, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." Isn't it something how we've gotten away from God? These men, Peter and Paul and John, they had knowledge of the Old Testament. And the knowledge of the Bible led them and allowed them to know what was happening. They knew all that the Scriptures, the prophets had talked about, and they saw that fulfillment in Christ. And so they knew when Christ came in, they knew as He was preaching to them and teaching them and was telling them of the things that would come to pass, that it would indeed happen. Their knowledge of the Bible let them know what was happening. And so they counteracted to these religious leaders of their day. And they had great boldness to do so. Oh, that God would give us boldness to stand on the Word of God. Oh, that He would give us boldness to refute the modern ideologies of today and to stand firm on what thus says the Word of God. They were not unlearned and ignorant about salvation. Notice in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Probably out of this entire passage of Scripture, the most important word here is that salvation. It's something how these priests and these religious leaders, as religious and perhaps holier than thou as they was, and they kept the law, right? They did everything by the books. But yet, here Peter and Paul is saying, you need salvation. You need Jesus. And salvation, the importance of that word, to Noah, the ark meant salvation while others perished. To Israel at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, the Bible says to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. People are trapped by problems and perplexed. And I would dare say that these men could tell people how to get rid of their sins. They could tell these people how to get to heaven. It's not about the religion, and it's not about ceremonials, and it's not about all of these things that we do as acts following faith. But he says the only way to be saved is through Jesus. It is through Jesus. So they were not unlearned and ignorant about salvation. I'll pose a question to you this morning. Peter and John were the most valuable men in their town. Could you and I be the most valuable people in our community? Could we be as bold with them as Peter and John were, and to call out sin as it is? Now granted, it will take boldness, right? It will definitely take some boldness to call sin what it is and a sin, and to say to people that the only way to heaven, the only way to salvation is not through your merits, but it's through Jesus. I was talking with a person this week, a very religious person, and we was discussing, you know, they had talked about all the various denominations and churches, and they just couldn't understand why there were so many, and how all of them think that they're the right ones and this, that, and the other. And they had made mention that they just do church at home and all of that. And I said, well, that's all well and good. I said, but I have one problem with the comment you made where they all think they're right. Not all of them say they are the right ones, right? Because there's a few differences between us and a few others, but there's not necessarily a lot of difference. We just see some things slightly different in Scripture. But that doesn't make us right and them wrong, or them right and us wrong, is how they interpret the Scripture. But in the discussion, I told them, and I believe this with all that I am, and I will take it to my grave, and I trust that you won't be too mad at me, but I had told them, in my personal opinion, it does not matter about what you belong to. The name above a door has nothing to do with my eternal life. It's who you belong to. It's all about Jesus. And I get we have some theological differences. There's even theological differences amongst Southern Baptists, right? You have some that are on the very Calvinist side. You have some that's on the very independent side. And you have some that are kind of right in the middle where they just, whatever the preacher is what they are. That's within the Southern Baptist Convention. Are we saying we're right? No, we're close, right? But that's not to say someone else is necessarily wrong. And Peter and Paul here, they were saying, you know, it doesn't matter about your title and it doesn't matter about your definition of holiness or your definition of religion. He said, there's only one way to heaven. And it's not through the church name. It's not through the pastor. It's not through ceremonial waters. It's through Jesus. All the other stuff comes after, right? It comes after. Are we willing to be that bold? And say, I don't care what you are, what you belong to. All I'm concerned about is your eternal destiny. Are you going to be in heaven when this life is over? Will you see Jesus? Here's even something a little deeper, and then I'll be closing. It is a fact, scripturally, we all will see Jesus. Right? Saved or lost, we all will see Jesus. The Bible says that every knee shall bow, and every knee shall say or call Him Lord. Amen. It's a fact that everybody goes to heaven. Now bear with me. The question is, will you get to stay there? Because He also will say, welcome my good and faithful servant, enter into the land that was promised for you. Or He will say to you, depart from me, for I never knew you. Are we going to have the boldness to be able to tell people that Jesus is the only way to heaven? You and I can be the most valuable people in our town. The need is great, right? I don't do social media very much anymore. It's so horrific in a lot of things. And you know, I see all of the politics and I see the various things. And I see one-sided stories. And then I see how people twist what's truth and try to make it fit into their narrative to where it makes them feel better. I see all this stuff. And I think, you know, oh, how we need Jesus. How we need revival in our country, our world. The need is great. Oh, it's such a need. Can I encourage you to give your life to Christ for His service? Take time to be with Jesus. You know, it was interesting in this passage, and I know I said I was going to close, and I'm getting there. I promise I am. But it's interesting in this passage how they had said and made known in verse 13, they had been with Jesus. Now, those around them knew that they had been with Christ. Can I encourage you to take time to be with Christ, to saturate your mind and your heart with His Word, to carry the message of salvation to others, and how that God can use you and me to change the world that we live in. That we may not reach the masses, right? We may not reach beyond the community we live in. But dear friend, we have a world that needs Jesus, and we need to spread that gospel. Can we be the most valuable people in our community. I'm going to extend a hymn of invitation. We'll just do one verse. This is your opportunity to do business with God. Maybe you simply say, Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, give me that fervency. Give me that fire. Give me that that power, that boldness to make a stand for you. Lord, give me the encouragement and the courage to talk to others. You know, that's a big thing with a lot of people, and I get it. Lord, you open the door. You make the way happen. Maybe it is salvation. Maybe you need to cry out to God, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. Help me to live a life of boldness and spreading the gospel. Whatever it is this morning, will you come as we sing? Be said before we dismiss this morning. Again, we have plenty of food awaiting us, so trust you stay and be a part of that. If there is nothing, we'll dismiss with a word of prayer, and I'll go ahead and bless the food as well. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. God, we've had this time to be in your house, Lord, to worship you. And Father, we pray that everything that we have said and done has been honorable to you, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to be like Peter and Paul and John and the others. God, to have boldness. Lord, to stand firm when it seems all of the forces are coming against us. Help us to stand firm in your word. Lord, give us that fervency to spread your gospel. Help us, Lord, as we depart from here, we go our separate ways today, and Lord, that you would lead us to those who are lost and undone without you, that they may be saved. And Lord, we pray for this food, and we're thankful for those who have taken the time, given the resources to prepare it. God, we pray that you would bless them. Lord, that you would bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies, and our bodies in turn to your service. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.